when I was a little boy growing up, I grew up, I was a wrestler. Anybody wrestle or have wrestled? Like, yeah, not like professional wrestling, not like that kind of stuff, but like real wrestling. I grew up a wrestler, and I think I remember my very first tournament when I was a kid. I weighed 53 pounds, and this was the Coweta, Oklahoma Invitational Tournament. And I want you guys to know I got second place. My very first tournament. I know. I always wanted to be the guy, and I got to do this a few times growing up. But if you win the tournaments, you get, not only do you get like the medal or the trophy, but you get the whole bracket, the whole paper thing, the bracket too. I wanted those because I wanted to pin them up in my room. Anyways, second place, my very first tournament. And my first, so my dad was a wrestler. He grew up wrestling. He actually had a scholarship to wrestle at the University of Oklahoma. My brother wrestled, and all throughout like elementary, middle school, and into high school, I wrestled. I eventually, I'm a quitter, I know, but I eventually stopped wrestling. But here, I had a nickname when I wrestled. And I had a nickname that my coaches gave me that just stuck with me all throughout high school, and that nickname was Worm. Right? Like, oh, that's a great nickname, right? No. Because so when I would wrestle, I was really squirmy and wormy. I never got pinned, and my coach was always like, "You're just really just wormy," and so it stuck. And so you're really hard to get a hold of, and so it stuck. So all throughout high school, my friends called me Worm, and seriously, it was to the point my teachers called me Worm. And at my coaches called me Worm. All my friends, my nickname was Worm. And like you guys know in school, some of you guys in school, like athletes, when you would get your shirt, you know, have your name on the back. Mine didn't have my name; it said Worm. And even parents, my friends' parents would that was my name. And so There was one day in high school when I got sick at school. Anybody been sick in school? It's like the worst. So I got sick at school, had a fever. I wasn't feeling good. And I go to like the little nurse's station, and I'm laying down on their uncomfortable couch bed thing. And my dad had to come pick me up from school. And I was laying in this little sick room, and I heard my dad come in. And I heard him come into the office, and he said, "Hey, I'm here to pick up Jeremy." And the school nurse was like, "Who?" And my dad was like, "Jeremy, I'm here to pick up Jeremy." And she was like, "Who? We don't have anybody by that name." And he goes, "Worm." And she's like, "Oh, yeah, he's back here." And so, but it came up to be my senior year. And it was my senior year in high school. And we were leading up to graduation. Somehow the Lord blessed me and I was able to graduate. But my parents were talking to me about graduation and about these things coming up. And they're like, "Jeremy, graduation's coming up soon." And when they read your name, and I went to a really small high school. Like my whole graduating class was 125 people. So like I went to a really small high school. And so when you go to a small school like that, you know everybody. And so my parents were like, "Jeremy, listen. When you walk across that stage, when they read your name, they better not say Wormy Wyatt." And they said, they were like, "Listen, I don't care what other people call you. I don't care what you call yourself. There are only two people, your mother and your father, who have the right to give you your name. You are not what other people have called you, and you're not even what you've called yourself. The only one who created you has the right to identify you. And so listen, for a few moments tonight, I just want to remind us all and myself in the room who we are." Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Are you with me? So listen, I want you to know this. After I take a drink. I want you to know this. You are not identified by your past. You are not identified by your behaviors. You are not identified by your failures. You are not identified by your struggles. You are not identified by your feelings. You are not even identified by your circumstances. You are not identified by the watered-down philosophies of our current culture. You are who God says you are. And it doesn't matter what others have called you. It doesn't matter what you've called yourself. It doesn't matter the label that you've put on yourself or the label that you've allowed other people to put on you. There is only one who has the authority to identify you, and that is the one who gave life to you. See, others aren't qualified to name you. And I want you to know that your story, it may have hurt you, but it does not shape who you are. You are who God says you are, and he says you're chosen. He says you're royal. He says that you have been redeemed. He says that you've been adopted. He says that you are qualified. You're not a mistake. And the Bible says, it says this, it says that you are, if you're a follower of Jesus in the room, it says that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And the value that God has placed on each and every one of you means that you're more than enough. And so when I say that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit, what that means is when you surrender your life to Christ, and what many people did last week in this room, and what many of you guys have done before, maybe in this room or throughout your life, when you surrender your life to Christ, maybe it's by just a simply of a raising of a hand or by saying a prayer and just giving your life to Christ, what God does, he loves you. And he values you that what he does, he actually comes to live on the inside of you. And that means that you're an overcomer. That's who you are. And I want you to know tonight, I don't know who's lied to you up to this point, but it's important that you find your identity in Jesus. There's many people who try to tell you who you are. There's many people who try to tell you who you should be, or what you should act like, or what you should be like. But I want you to know tonight that your identity can only be found in Jesus. And you need to know this. You will live up to, or you will live down to, whatever you believe about yourself. You will either live up to, or you will live down to, whatever you believe about yourself. And your identity, it's critical. Because if you'll read your Bible, a major theme all throughout the Old Testament and all throughout the New Testament, it talks about your identity. It talks about who you are in God. See, listen, a lot of things will try to dictate your identity if you let them. Things like sports, things like games, things like relationships, activities, academics, you name it. And at some point, you're going to reach a place where that identity will fail you. The relationship will end. The friendship will end. The academics may not be as strong. You may not be as strong as athlete. You may, whatever you've chosen to identify yourself as, that eventually will close out. That eventually will stop. Like I went to high school with a guy. He was the quarterback on our football team. And usually quarterback's like one of the more athletic kind of people on the team. And like this guy totally placed his identity in being the quarterback of the football team. He lived it. He told stories about it. He replayed games of him being the quarterback of the football team. I went back to my 10-year high school reunion. I've been out of high school for a long time. And still, he was talking about him being the quarterback of the football team. That was his whole identity in life. Your identity isn't meant to be built on what we do, but it's built on who we are. So tonight, do you really know who you are? So tonight, God wants to show you who you really are in him. So we're going to look at a few verses tonight. We're going to break that down a little bit tonight. And then we're going to have fam times, and we're going to pray together because I believe that this could be a really important night for many of you in this room. If you brought your Bible, we're going to look first in Galatians, in the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 26. If you didn't bring it, we'll have it on the screen. And it says this, "For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus." What that means, if you choose to dedicate your life to Jesus, because of your faith in him, you are now a child of God. It's simple as that. A lot of times we try to make it really difficult. We try to make it hard to understand, but it's as simple as if you've chosen to give your life to Christ and put your faith and your hope and your trust in him, what you become is a child of God. What it doesn't mean is that you're no longer your parents' kids. That's not what that means. And it means that what God has now done is he has adopted you into his family. And so I don't know. I grew up, there was a long time in my home where my parents would have foster kids come in. And we took on a lot of foster kids in our home when I was in high school and even into college. And I got in an argument one time with one of our foster kids. And we got in this argument and we were going back and forth and kind of yelling at each other and stuff. And this person was close to my age and they were like, listen, and they made a really good point. And it was a point that I had to really realize. They say, listen, your parents, they had you, but they chose me. I was like, kick me in the teeth. Man, obviously these kids weren't adopted, but Johnny's been adopted. Where's my boy Johnny at? There he is. And I don't know, there may be more of you in this room. I don't know if anybody else has been adopted, but there's something special. Listen, there's something special about that. Because like even like our guy Johnny, who we love so much, because of his adoption, he was rescued. He was saved from a place that was destroying him. A place with no love, a place with no mercy, a place where he was hurt and discarded like trash. But you guys, he was adopted into a home where he found love, he found mercy, he found hope. At 5 years old, you weighed how much? 30 pounds. He's made up for it now. But think about that. He was rescued. He was adopted and taken to a place and put in a place where he has thrived. He's even got his own podcast. You need to subscribe to his podcast, right? The Amazing Jonathan North Show. He's taking the summer off. But anyways... But listen, what that means, when you begin to put your hope and your faith and you accept Christ into your life, what he does is he says, I'm adopting you and I'm taking you. And it's not, I'm not saying any of you guys have a bad home life. That's not what it's like. He's saying, I'm adopting you into my family, and God's family is a royal family. And it's a family of blessing, and it's a family of purpose. And it's a family that you want to be a part of. So what does that mean for us today that we're now adopted, that we're now a part of Christ's family? Well, 2 Corinthians 6, verses 17 and 18, it says this. Therefore, come out from among the unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I'll welcome you. And I will be your what? I'll be your what? I'll be your father. And you'll be my what? Sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. See, tonight, God wants more than a distant relationship with you. And don't we do that? Isn't that the game we play with God a lot of times? Like, we come to Wednesday night church. It's easy to jump around and to sing and to dance and to raise our hands and to sing out, or maybe even to respond for prayer. But the rest of the week, are we a part of God's family? Do we act like we're a part of God's family? Because so many times, like, it's our relationship with God is a distant one. Like, God, you're beneficial to the times when I really need you. God, you're beneficial on Wednesdays or on Sundays. God wants more than a distant relationship with you. His plan is to be your father, and we are his sons and his daughters. See, the world wants to tell us that we are lost and that we're alone. And what the world will do is the world will begin to pollute your identity with distractions and pain. However, God says that you're more than that. He says you're royalty. He says that you're the sons and the daughters of the King of Kings, of the Lord of Lords. See, scripture that we just read, it calls us to come out from among the unbelievers and to separate yourselves from them. See, what that's saying is that each and every single one of us, we're called to live a set apart lifestyle. We're called to be set apart from the rest of the world. So here's tonight, I want to give you two questions to ask yourself. First one is this: is my life set apart? Maybe you need to write this down. Maybe you need to take a picture of it. But I want you to ask yourself these two questions. Is my life set apart? And do I look more like the world than I do like Jesus? Is my life set apart? Do I look more like the world than I do like Jesus? See, if we want to follow Jesus well, we need to look like him. If he's our Savior, if he's our Lord, if he's our King, we want to be like him. Don't allow the world to dictate your identity any longer. You need to know who you are. And I want you to know tonight that if you're in this room and you've accepted Christ into your life, you are a child of God. It's almost fam time, but I want to read this to you real quick. 1 John 3:9-10. It says, those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. So now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. See, if we don't live as children of God, what we do is we begin to identify ourselves as children of the world, namely the enemy. So I want to ask you tonight, do you look more like a child of God or a child of the world? See, being a child of God is more than just about our identity. It's about our responsibility to live as his children. See, if we're truly God's children, we can't continue to live a life of sin. See, scripture calls us to live righteously and to love other believers, to live a set apart life. So here's what I want you to do. If you're taking notes tonight, I want you to write this phrase down and maybe put it in a place where you're going to see it, maybe put it on your phone, but I want you to write this down and use it as a reminder throughout the rest of your week. And it's kind of a step as a child of God. It's simply this: live right and love others. Live right and love others. If you're a child of God, he's calling you to live right and to love others. Imagine if you, as a child of God, begin to act according to, not according to the way that we feel, but according to what God says is true about you. Imagine what relationships and friendships that we wouldn't even begin to entertain if we lived as children of God. Imagine how we would refuse to do things just simply for the approval of other people, for their applause, for their likes, for their comments. It isn't necessary because scripture says that I'm already approved, that I'm already accepted, that I'm already enough. I don't need anyone's approval because God has already approved me. And when you begin to think like that, if you begin to think like that, if you begin to live like that, it changes the entirety of the way you live. Let me ask you tonight, do you want to find freedom in your life? Live as a child of God. Do you want to find peace in your life? Live as a child of God. Do you want to find purpose in your life? Begin to live as a child of God. And I guarantee you tonight, it will begin to transform your life. See, what good is it for Easter was last week. What good is it for Christ to die for your sin if you choose to still live in it? We all need to be reminded of who we are in Christ from time to time.